is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. We had a fun first hour. Last segment, we had Angelo Cataldi on, legendary sports radio personality in Philadelphia, now author of Loud, How a Shy Nerd Came to Philadelphia and Turned Up the Volume in the Most Passionate Sports City in America. I'm gonna have to get his book. Like, that's a really cool, it's like really his story good. From being a journalist and then now sports radio host. I think that's a really cool story that, like, I think a lot of people will enjoy and kind of gain something from that.
Well, I think what you have to understand is how influential Angelo was here in the Philadelphia area and how WIP exploded and how it kind of became a lightning rod. And his morning show, you know, starting at 6 to 10, you know, was, you know, must listen to during the commute travel and, you know, and creating a lot of conversations about what was going on. And Angelo, you know, what I respect about Angelo the most is he was not afraid to say what he thought, you know, and he was very honest and he gave his opinion and people respected him. And then he had this thing called Wing something. He would have this event, Femi, at Wells Fargo. And it was like it was huge. I wanted to ask him about it, but it was the Wing Bowl, and it was right around the Super Bowl. And he would have 18,000 people would come in. It was kind of like just a tremendous event. And he had that for four or five. It was big. So he created a conversation that you need to have in sports to allow people to understand what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific. I mean, he's an institution. Like, I grew up in Seattle, Washington, but, like, I know who Angelo Cataldi is, and, like, I don't really listen to Philadelphia radio, but it just goes to show you that even though he was like a dynamo locally, like, he was a nationally known person and radio personality. Like, it just goes to show you how good he was. And when you're in on the ground floor, you can go ahead and build something pretty special, which he was able to do over there at WIP, which is still, like, one of the recognized Philadelphia sports radio stations for people to go get all their Eagles talk and their Sixers talk. We didn't do any Sixers with him. He thinks that they might blow it, though, which let's hope not. Let's hope they can get home, the Philadelphia 76ers, at the end of the season here. But to start off our number two, we do have our buddy Matt Youmans joining us two segments from now at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific. We'll talk some NFL, some college football, a little college basketball as well with Youmans, see what he likes here on this full Saturday slate here 2 days before Christmas here. But Michael, we're going to save the Hall & Oates play for next segment here so we can get it all dressed up and everything like that. We'll get all that stuff, the line of the week and everything. We'll save that for 15 minutes from now. But to start this off, let's go ahead and play a little now or later if we can here. Okay. And this is an interesting kind of propositions here with some of the key games that we have coming up as it pertains to some of the awards that are still up for grabs. And it starts off with this Baltimore and San Francisco game. Now or later, these odds are courtesy of DraftKings. Would you rather go ahead and bet Lamar Jackson to win MVP at plus 450 or just bet the Ravens money line to beat the 49ers at plus 210? Or maybe you want to go ahead and dabble in both of them if you really feel strongly about Baltimore's chances Monday night.
I think I play both. Look, you know, this is the biggest underdog in 80 starts that Lamar Jackson's had during his career, right? 6.5 at the Chiefs was the largest spread he's faced. This is at 6 now. So this is the second largest one that he's faced against. And then the third one was the Chiefs in 19. So 18 is rookie year and then 19. And in those games, the Chief game, he lost by 5. In the game he was a 6.5-point dog, he lost by 3 points. Mm-hmm. So we know he's going to play well. And we know Harbaugh as an underdog is a very good coach. He's second behind Mike Tomlin when he's a dog. The thing you like about Lamar in this game is his athleticism, his speed, his ability to make plays that aren't scripted, you need to do against this San Francisco team. Go back to last year in Las Vegas when the Raiders played, right? Jared Stidham was the quarterback, and nobody gave the Raiders a chance in the game. Mm-hmm. But the Raiders had a good plan, and there were some off-scripted plays they made in that game. You can remember the one he throws to Davante Adams over on the side. And, you know, you're going to need to do that because if – you don't move the pocket on this 49er pass rush, it becomes a real issue. So I think, to me, that's where I think this game's got to go. And look, you got to be able to run the football effectively on San Francisco. And we saw last week that the Cardinals could. They just can't do it consistently throughout the game. And I think that's going to be the key. Look, do I think the Niners win? Yeah. I just think the line's gotten too far out. I really do. I think six, it's now six, Femi. I mean, that's a lot. That's in this team of Baltimore, I mean, they're one of the few teams that have it. They begin the fourth quarter with leads in almost every single game. They've had 12 games this year where they start the fourth quarter with the lead.
Man, you always talk about, like, controlling football games. I mean, this Ravens team, I mean, they've trailed for, like, what, like 30 minutes of game time so far this season? Like, it hasn't been a whole lot of time that this team has been trailing. They tend to kind of grab control of these games. And I think what the line is telling you, the line has a lot of respect for the 49ers, as it should. Like, the Niners are a great team. And I think if you poll the average NFL fan, they'll tell you best team in the league, 49ers. We all get that. But like you said, six is a lot to be given this head coach and this quarterback, Lamar Jackson. And real quick, if he wins this game, if the Ravens win, do you think Lamar jumps to being the front runner for MVP?
Well, they don't want to give it to Purdy. So if they, if Lamar wins, I mean, let's face it, nobody wants to give it to Purdy. Nobody wants to recognize Purdy as a good player. Everybody just wants to say it's everybody else but Purdy, right? So, yeah, of course he's going to move up, especially if he plays to a high, high level. You know, don't count Tua out. Tua could get back in this thing, too.
Come on.
Everybody votes for Tua. Here's the thing that's interesting. I said this on McAfee yesterday, and I almost thought those guys, they looked at me like I was completely talking with no idea what I was saying. But Kyle Shanahan is 1-31 when he's trailing by 3 or more points entering the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
1-31. Now, under Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers are 0-37 when trailing by 8 or more points entering the fourth quarter. If Baltimore keeps this game close and they have that lead going in there, I like their chances to cover.
Yeah, they might just win the game outright based on the numbers that you just gave out there, since they never go ahead and come back in those games. So I can't wait to watch the game. Maybe it's a good live betting angle of if Baltimore grabs control, maybe you can still get Baltimore at some plus money prices since they're coming from so far behind from the closing spread standpoint. Likely going to close 6 or 5.5 in this range at least here. How about the next game here for now or later? D'Amico Ryans, +350 to win Coach of the Year, or Texans money line Sunday afternoon, +130 against Cleveland?
I think I'd take D'Amico to win Coach of the Year, and I think he deserves it. Look, I think Sean McVay needs to be in this conversation too. He won't get it because he's won a Super Bowl. So everybody thinks winning games is easy. I think D'Amico's done a tremendous job. And if he finds a way to win another game with Case Keenum, I think he's a lock to win it. Look, that game last week was one that I'm not sure they should have won. Dalton Schultz made sure of that, with it stripping the ball away from an interception that was interception that became a completion. And credit the Texans for playing and being resourceful and making the plays and dominating the line of scrimmage to where Derrick Henry couldn't get going. But I think if he wins another game with a backup quarterback, I mean, look, there's a good chance tomorrow or Christmas Day they could be in first place if Lawrence doesn't play and Tampa beats them.
Mm.
And they beat Cleveland, there they are.
Yeah, we'll see what happens as well with the Indianapolis Colts against the Atlanta Falcons. But right now, someone's going to have to explain to me how Dan Campbell is still the favorite for this award at +200. Nobody's talking about him for Coach of the Year, and the Lions had expectations of winning the division, and they're likely going to do that. So I don't know. Like they don't really give Coach of the Year for a three-year turnaround. It's usually what you do that season, isn't it?
How about Stefanski, 4 quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Keeping his team together. He's got 9 wins. He wins in Houston this week, 10 wins with Joe Flacco at quarterback, a defense that's gotten beat up, offensive lineman injury all over the place. And, you know, why is he 8-1? Meanwhile, the New York Football Jets, they're 5-9, and well, it's just because we don't have Aaron Rodgers. Like, the difference between the two narratives is remarkable. It's just remarkable. One coach gets a pass, 33% winning percentage coach. It's okay. We'll bring him back next year. He's fine. Meanwhile, Stefanski doesn't get any love for Coach of the Year, and he's doing it with backup players.
Yeah. I think that if Stefanski wins on Sunday, where they're right now 2.5-point favorites, might close at 3, and then he will play Thursday night Robert Saleh and the New York Jets. If he wins that as well and gets to 11-5 with 4 different quarterbacks and winning, that's a hard argument to go against. Like, I think that he would be in the driver's seat, honestly, for coach of the year. Like, that's, I think we're the coach of the year. There's a lot that can go on with these next 2 weeks here, but I think it's still very much wide open. All right, this next one, the last one here for Now or Later, Micah Parsons to win defensive player of the year at minus 110 or Micah Parsons over 0.75 sacks against the Dolphins minus 200.
I think I'm going to go over the 0.75 sacks. I think he'll sack the quarterback this week. I really do. I think he'll get pressure on Tua. Look, it's an athletics game, and they need to move him around. You know, and look, every game you go into the game saying, "Hey, we got to take him out of the game." I understand that, but I think in this game, I think that he'll be able to put some pressure on the quarterback, and I think he'll get a sack. I think I'd rather play that. I don't see him as the defensive player of the year, Femi.
Same.
Because I think one of the things is their defense hasn't played to that level.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's kind of a false favorite right now at minus 110. I think Garrett's going to win the award just based on the winning and what Cleveland's done as well.
I agree. I mean, look, you're sitting here saying this, right? You know, that we're talking about the liability on Dallas is their defense. Now, look, Micah Parsons is a great player.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody – but that defense isn't great. That defense has a lot of holes in it.
Yeah, I think it's probably liability, and then the fact that the Cowboys, they've won a lot of games, so voters like to vote on players that are on winning teams. But I think that Myles Garrett and him being the face of the Cleveland Browns, face of the Cowboys is still Dak Prescott, even though Parsons, I think, is the best player. Myles Garrett, I think, is going to win that award, barring a collapse from the Cleveland Browns. All right, we'll get to the Lombardi look ahead on the other side here. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to bet smarter? Then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today and get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, rolling along here on a Saturday morning on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, Matt Eumanns, VSiN host and host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, will be joining us next segment here. We'll get Eumanns' plays in the NFL and also what he might like in college football and in college hoops. But let's get to the Lombardi look ahead. And we always start off with a game that you want no parts of, our Hall & Oates play of the week here. What is that game that you have identified that you're going to stand 10 feet away?
I mean, you guess. What game do you think I think stinks? Like, seriously, what game do you – like, this isn't a hard one. This isn't how can anybody feel comfortable? Bill Berman says to me this morning, he's going over, you know, something. He said, I think I like Washington. I don't like anybody. Like, I don't like any game, you know. And then today I had Charles Leno, the left tackle, who's not a great player for Washington, is not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like either side in this game. I don't even know who's going to watch it. Like, I can't. There's no chance you could get me to stay and look at any of this game. Like, we don't know. We got Trevor Siemian playing quarterback. We got Sam Howell, who's been under constant pressure. We got Eric Bieniemy, who's calls passes at an alarming rate, could care less. Brian Robinson's the running back for Washington's not going to play. More chances to call more passes. More chances to get the quarterback killed.
Mm.
You know, it's like Washington's just playing it out. So you can't back them. And the Jets, I mean, they're horrific offensively. It's just not bad. It's historically bad. And now they come in with Siemian. I don't know where to go. What would you do? Who are you playing, Femi?
Well,
if this isn't the lowest played game in the contest, I'm going to be shocked.
Well, we said about a month ago, it might have been 5 or 6 weeks ago, that we said everyone at VSiN needs to play this game here, because if you're truly into dumpster diving, this is the game for you, Commanders at the Jets. And me and Bill Berman are riding together, Michael. We're riding with the Washington
Commanders. Don't tell me you did this. You did it.
We did it. I did it.
Who did you take?
I took +3. I took the Commanders at +3.
He wanted to take the Commanders too. You guys are on the same page.
We ride together on Christmas Eve.
I wrote
Eve.
In my notes on Monday morning when I start getting ready for the week, I always go start with the line. What's the opening line? Where the line is? And then I every day I have a different color on the line on what it's going to be. And on Monday of last week, I wrote, I don't care where this line moves to. There's no chance you're getting me to play it. There's no chance. Like, the zero. Like, there's just no way. Like, I don't care if it went to Washington plus 10. I wouldn't take it.
Well, I mean, the handicap for me was simple. Fading Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this handicap. Yeah, I'm going to listen to this handicap.
The handicap was fading Trevor Siemian there. I don't think he should be laying three. That offense is not good enough to lay three there. Now, obviously, the Washington offensive line is a concern against that Jets front. But I think Washington will at least be able to put up enough points to stay within this thing. Total's pretty low as well. Not going to be a whole lot of points scored. Maybe this is 12-10 or something like that. In which case, it's ugly, but we win and we get the money at the window. So this is one that I have a bet on it. I'm not even sure if I'm going to watch the game, to be quite honest. Like, I might just check the score periodically. No, it's not going to make it. No, we'll check the score periodically and then go back maybe afterwards and watch and see what happened. But in real time, I don't know if I want to put that kind of stress on myself here, not during the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, I just, to me, it is like I try to visualize games in my head, right? So, like, how does this game go besides just visualizing a lot of punting?
Yeah.
Like, how does this go? Like, I don't see where it happens, you know, and I know weather's not going to be a factor, but still, both these teams want to get their seasons over with as soon as possible. I mean, Rivera's dead man walking. Mm-hmm. You know, Saleh's probably going to get a 17-year extension with the job he's done this year, which has been tremendous. I mean, I don't know if you can get a better coaching job out of Robert Saleh.
Coach of the year?
So, coach of the year. I don't know why you're not voting for him, Femi. If you're picking this game, you should vote for him.
Yeah, an hour later, Jets money line of Robert Saleh coach of the year at 500-1.
Yeah, why not?
Because we like our money this time of the year. Robert Saleh, of course, famously 16-32 with a career record here so far as New York Jets head coach.
16-32, and I think he's won three AFC East games.
It's been rough. It's been rough for gangrene here, but hey, we're going to run it back. We got faith in Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh for 2024. That's what we're going to go ahead and do. So officially, Commanders, Jets is your Week 16 Hall & Oates Play of the Week. I can't go for that. No can do. No can do, says Michael Lombardi, but me and Bill Berman, we're going dumpster diving on Christmas Eve, and we'll hopefully come out with a winning ticket.
You too. Yeah, you got vacation Bill too, so he's in a good mood. Oh. So it'll be all good.
Where'd he go? Did you go somewhere warm?
No, he's going to go to Disney after Christmas. So, you know, he and Mickey have to have a meeting down there. You got to have that straightened out, you know?
He and Mickey.
I mean, the Disney chain of command goes Bob Iger and then Bill Berman. That's how that works. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I did not know, but you learn something new every day, I guess. Let's get to your line of the week, though. This one, the reeling Green Bay Packers laying 4 on the road against the Carolina Panthers, total 37.5.
This line was 6. So yesterday I did Russo, right? And, you know, he's cockier than can be. I mean, he's just out of control.
He's got the T-box.
He's got a three-game lead on me, right? And I have the two ties are what killing me. We both have the same amount of losses. He's got 3 more wins than I have because I got, you know, last week Chicago, I didn't get the 3.5. Of course, he got Minnesota at 3.5, you know. And then the Giant game. I lost because of the missed field goal. But anyway, nobody wants to hear about my problems. So this line, it was 6 yesterday, Femi. It was 6, and he took the Packers and laid the 6. And I'm like, you know, and then he's given all the reasons why. And I'm thinking, I don't have the guts to take Carolina. But Carolina was the right play. It opened at 5.5. It went to 6, and now it's stormed down to 4. So why? I think one thing Carolina can do is run the football. Mm-hmm. Green Bay can't play the run. Green Bay on the road, we saw the Giants run the ball for 200 yards against them. Tommy DeVito had 71 yards rushing in that game. So their defense, we know, is struggling. You can throw the football a little bit on Green Bay. But the other issue is Carolina can play pretty good pass defense. I mean, Carolina has played decent defense over the last month. It's just that their offense has turned the ball over way too much. I just thought 6 was too many points. Do I think Green Bay wins? Probably. But at 6, I thought it was a little bit too much, especially considering when you look at the injuries on Green Bay, that just the list goes on and on. Campbell, Musgrave, all these guys, Savage, you know, their corner situation. You know, Big Daddy keeps waiting for, you know, keeps waiting for Jaire Alexander to ever play again with his shoulder. Is he ever going to play again? So I had no real feel. I think Carolina, to me, just by the defense, can keep this to a three-point game. And so that's kind of why I was more inclined. Look, the last 2 weeks against New Orleans, they gave up 207 yards. Against Atlanta in a rainstorm, they gave up 204. They played Tampa really well. The Tampa game was a three-point game, right? The Tennessee game, they had a chance to win that game. You know, the Dallas game, they had no chance. Chicago, they're sitting right there. That's a three-point game. The Colt game was deceiving, right? The Colt game's 27-13, but it's two pick six in that game that wins the game. They held the Colts to 198 yards.
Yeah. No.
For me, this line was out of whack at six. I don't have the courage to take them. But this is a defense that's seventh in the National Football League in third down defense.
So do you guys, in your contest, can you guys go opposite, heads up here? Like, because like, I would have said for you to take that six and try to go and make up a game on him plus some.
Yeah, I can do that. I just don't like to do that. I mean, I if it would have been, you know, I would have taken Carolina, but, you know, six to me just seems like way too many points. But, you know, now I look in retrospect, you know, the line moved to four.
Yeah.
So I'd rather go 3-0 and have him go 0-3. That's what I'd rather do. That would be the perfect Christmas gift under my tree, right? Me win three and him lose three, and I could get him to shut up, right? And get the tee box back. That's what I would like.
He's puffing his chest a little bit, walking with a little bit of swagger.
I don't know how he buys a suit. He's Inspector Gadget. His arms are so long, patting himself on the back.
Well, he's got the tee box right now, but there's still 3 weeks left to go. Anything can happen in this NFL season here. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, I don't think you can lay a big number like that at six. Now that we're here at four, I still don't like it for Green Bay.
Dude, would you take Green Bay at four? I don't think I'd take Green Bay at four, would you?
No, like, I think they win the game. That's why, like, if I was in Survivor, I think I'd still play Green Bay at this point. But
I think a lot of people are playing Green Bay in Survivor. I think I'd be nervous about Green Bay in Survivor. I really would be, because I think Carolina can move the ball on them. Mm. They're so unpredictable, Green Bay. Look, one thing Carolina can do is run the ball. And with Tabor and with Campen, the two coaches there kind of running the program, you know, they've kind of tried to run, trying to take some of the pressure off of Bryce Young. If they could do that, it should be a closer game. Now, there'll be more Packer fans there than there'll be Panther fans. Oh, That's the other thing. It'll be a home game for the Packers.
Yeah, home
the
game.
Hopefully will be there.
Hopefully the weather holds up out there in Charlotte. All right, Matt Youmans will join us on the other side to give out his NFL plays in both Saturday night games. We'll discuss it next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now, our buddy, he joins us each and every Saturday, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, and co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It's Matt Youmans here joining us on the Lombardi Line. Matt, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. You have plays in both of tonight's NFL games here. We'll start in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers right now are 3-point home dogs, total 38 here. What do you like in this AFC North clash? Steelers fighting for their season.
Yeah, it's not a lot to like about the Steelers, and they're 7-7, consecutive losses to the Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts. Mike Tomlin was a home favorite against Arizona and New England, much more dangerous as a home dog. And I think you know, that's the basis for the play here. Is, you know, Tomlin typically wins these type of games as a home dog when his back is to the wall. I kind of like the quarterback switch from Mitch Trubisky to Mason Rudolph. I think that should prove to be a good move. The Steelers do have injury issues in their secondary, which is going to be a problem. But Cincinnati's offense dealt a setback this week. Jamar Chase ruled out with a shoulder injury. And the Bengals are off that kind of a miracle comeback last week to pull out that win against the Vikings. I actually think this is a decent spot here for the Steelers. Catching three? I didn't intend to play this, I'll be honest, at the beginning of the week. But if you're going to give me a full three with the Steelers at home, the more I've looked at it this week, the more I like it. So it's a small play for me here.
Matt, I couldn't agree more. I on Russo yesterday, I took the three. If it was 2.5, I probably would have said no. But to get Tomlin as a three-point dog at home in a game that, you know, the AFC, this North is always a battle. Whether these two teams are good or bad, that they always play hard. And look, remember, they gained 427 yards against the Bengals in Cincinnati and won the game 16-10. And that was just 4 weeks ago. So there has to be some confidence. They're going to play Patrick Peterson at free safety, which could extend his career, which I think will help them because it's critical for them to get somebody in the middle of the field to help call. So I like the play. I hope we're both right on this one. The one I don't know, you like the Chargers in the 12.5. And these are always the hard games for me because I'm so linear in terms of handicapping. Like, I know Buffalo's the better team. I just can never gauge the large point spreads. But you think the Chargers will keep this closer than two touchdowns, huh?
I don't really know. I'm guessing on this one, I'll be honest. You know, when you bet on a team the week after a coaching change, that's usually a strong angle. You bet on a team the week after it was humiliated, that's typically a good angle. But the Chargers are flaky, so I don't know. I don't have the same type of confidence that I would, let's say, in a normal team that I do in the Chargers in this spot off that 63-21 loss in Las Vegas. You know, you're guessing if you're trying to predict if the home dog's going to show up and play with pride tonight in L.A. And when you have Easton Stick against Josh Allen, it looks a little bit too easy to just lay the points with the Bills. I'm also guessing here that this could be a flat spot for the Bills. Traveling cross-country, up big wins over the Cowboys and the Chiefs. I have a feeling the Bills are going to be a little bit sluggish in this game because they've got so many big games here down the stretch, and this is really not one of them. I'm going to say the Bills kind of go through the motions, maybe win this game by 7-10. Let's hope the Chargers show up and play with some pride. But I will say that the two plays today are just smaller plays for me, and I'm kind of guessing a little bit here on the Chargers and hoping they show up.
All right, Matt, taking the both home dogs here on the Saturday slate in the NFL here. This is Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast here. Well, let's get to Sunday's slate here, Matt. Seattle at Tennessee. Right now the Seahawks laying 3.5. I guess as a Titans backer, would you rather Will Levis plays hurt or would you rather see Ryan Tannehill get the start in this game?
Probably Tannehill. I think if he gets one more shot, maybe you get his best shot here because Tannehill, if he doesn't show something here, his career is maybe at the end. But what I saw from Will Levis last week was nothing too impressive. So I'm not really itching for Levis to get back on the field. But he got sacked 7 times. You know, one thing about the Titans, I think I misjudged when I was scouting this team before the season. I thought the offensive line play was going to be a lot better. And the offensive line play in Tennessee has been pretty poor all season. Derrick Henry's not finding much traction in the run game, and they're better off really with Spears because of his speed. But I think this is a type of matchup against the Seahawks where they can look a little bit better than they did against the Texans a week ago. And that the Seahawks defense can be had. I'm very disappointed in the way the Eagles played Monday night on offense and defense, especially in the second half. I thought that was just an incredibly poor performance by Philadelphia. But now that you go on the road, you're the Seahawks off that big win. Geno Smith is jumping back in there, and you're laying 3.5 all of a sudden on the road. It's actually a pretty good spot, I think, for Mike Vrabel and the home dog to rise up here.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday when we were talking on the show, if I knew Tannehill was playing, I think I would have gone with the Titans. I just can't watch another Will Levis performance. And you're right, Matt. That offensive line is just atrocious. I mean, they can't protect. It's remarkable they were able to give him enough time in Miami in the final two drives to win that game. So I'm with you on that one. The Patriots injury report, I think, is driving this line. It was 6 pretty much all week. Now we're at 7.5 in a lot of shops. And you like the Patriots at 7.5.
You know, I got to laugh at this one, too, because the Patriots burned me so many times this season. Michael, I'm just a believer in Bill Belichick, and I think that when you give him points, you always expect the Patriots to be a good play because they have been for so long. He's 3-11 against the spread this season, and is this a spot? Well, I think it could be a spot where the Patriots actually show up despite the injuries. And I don't like the injury report for the Patriots either. But I think this line is inflated to the point where I just have to take it. It's at 7.5. It's tough to turn down with a total of 35. It's going to be cold, possibly snowing in Denver. Here's the thing that a lot of people overlook with the Patriots, even with the injuries. They still have the number two rushing defense in the NFL, allowing about 85 yards a game. So if they can make it tough on the Broncos where they can't really run the ball, Russell Wilson's not going to cook and get a lot happening through the air here. I think Wilson's been really erratic. And believe it or not, the Broncos are 2-10-1 against the spread as favorites with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Wow.
So at 7.5, I just had to take the points one more time with the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, the way Denver plays offense, they're not really a team that sort of wins by margin either. So I definitely see that play taking the points there in a low-totaled game. Let's get to the game of the year, maybe. Although every time we talk about game of the year, the game ends up being a dud. But we're hoping that's not the case Monday night between the Ravens and the 49ers. San Francisco, a six-point favorite. Where I'm sitting at Circa, there's a 6.5, totals 47. What do you like in this one that pits the two top teams in their respective conferences against each other?
Yeah, it's so tough to bet against the 49ers right now because they won six in a row by an average margin of 18.8 points. They're just blowing teams out, and it's a tough play to make. But I always believe the Ravens are a little bit better in the underdog role, too. I don't like to bet them as home favorites, but you put them on the road in the dog role, and they're more attractive to me that way. Lamar Jackson's 9-4 straight up and 11-2 against the spread as a dog. And you know, that's actually tough to turn down for me as well. I think during the winning streak, the Niners have feasted on mediocre and weak defenses that all rank outside the league's top 10 in scoring. The Ravens actually ranked number one, and I think this Baltimore defense is actually capable in containing San Francisco's offensive versatility enough, and Jackson's one of those few quarterbacks I think you can put a little stress on the 49ers defense. Jackson's 5-1 on the road this season. I'm not going to pick the Ravens to win the game, but I think the Niners are due for a tight game. And Jackson and his underdog mentality, which, you know, he says he wants to be the underdog. I like that. I think this number is a little bit inflated. I thought it was probably right if it was around 4. At 6.5, I'll go ahead and grab the points for the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think this is kind of – and I think John Harbaugh uses his motivation, Matt. You know, look at, they have no respect for us. Look at this. I mean, we've had the lead in 8 games going in the fourth quarter, and we, you know, and we've had very few minutes playing from behind. They have no respect for us. Miami, Dallas. I mean, we're going to find out one of these teams are going to beat a good team, right? Somebody's going to say they beat a good team after this game. You think it's going to be Miami?
Well, I talked about this with you last week. I think that Dallas defense can be beat on the ground, and the Bills displayed that. They ran for 266 yards last week against the Dallas defense. Miami has the league's number 4 rushing offense. Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane are both healthy now, ready to roll. I think it's going to help a lot if Tyreek Hill returns, and I think it's pointing in that direction. But, hey, again, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have been at their worst in big games away from home. That's why I faded them last week, and I'm going to do so again.
Yeah, hard to argue with that right now. The Miami Dolphins, 1.5-point favorites, total sitting at 49.5, in which many people are calling the fraud bowl between the Cowboys and the Dolphins here. Somebody's going to have to do something. Something's got to give in South Beach Sunday afternoon. All right, Humans, he's going to join us in the other side as well. We'll go over his bowl plays as he has won in the Hawaii Bowl today, and then we'll look forward to what's going on later on this week as well. We'll wrap things up on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The holidays are here, so let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. All you got to do is go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use promo code VSiN at checkout, get an additional $30 off your order. We're talking about the filet mignons, the mouth-watering burgers, the jumbo freaks, everything that your red meat-loving friends would desire. Once again, omahasteaks.com, 50% off site-wide, and then save an additional $30 off when you use promo code VSiN. Minimum order may be required. All right, this is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. It's been a fun show here on a Saturday, second to last Saturday of 2023. And joining us for two segments, as he always does each and every week, Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, let's jump right into your college football stuff. You have a play in tonight's Hawaii Bowl between Coastal Carolina and San Jose State. Right now, the Spartans laying 8 total at 48. What do you like here over in the island?
Well, I'll tell you what the best bet is today. That's Omaha Steaks. I actually sent a shipment of Omaha Steaks to somebody as a Christmas gift. And I tell you, I wanted to send a shipment to myself. It looks so good. And I advise that. And they get those things out quickly, too. You order it, and 2 days later, it's on somebody's doorstep. I didn't play San Jose State in the Hawaii Bowl. I laid 8. You know, I'll tell you what. I'm looking at the odds screen this morning, and this is not a good sign. Because this number has crashed to 8.5, 8 at most books. It was as high as 11 about a week ago. Wow. I'm not really sure why the sharp money is showing up on San Jose, but I'll tell you this. When you see numbers crash in the bowl season, you got to respect it most times because that means there's some sort of information out there. And I'm not really sure what it is because when I handicap this game, almost all signs point to the Spartans. You got a 6-year quarterback in Siobhan Cordero who's wrapping up his career in his hometown of Honolulu. Brent Brennan, the coach, seeking his first bowl win. He's got his players highly motivated for this game. San Jose State has not lost since October 7th at Boise. Has won 6 in a row. And Cordero and running back Kyrie Robinson, a big part of that. Those guys triggered an offense averaging 38.7 points during that win streak. Now, you look at the Chanticleers, I'm not sure there's a team in the bowl season. It's had more players go into the transfer portal, almost 20, including Grayson McCall, the star quarterback, and his backup. So this also is a Coastal Carolina defense that allowed 365 rushing yards to Army and 481 total yards to James Madison in November. A defense fell apart. It looks like this should be a bowl blowout. I'm a little bit concerned about the number crashing on the screen today and not sure what's going on with this.
Yeah, how about UNLV? They play Kansas. The line opened up at 10.5. Now it's up. You got it at 13. It seems to have settled there, but you like to take the points here.
Yeah, I haven't bet this yet because I'm going to see if it goes to 14, and it might. Who knows? By Tuesday night, the guaranteed Great Bowl in Phoenix. In early December, it looked like the Rebels were going to lose Barry Odom, the coach. He might get a bigger job. Jaden Maiava, the freshman quarterback, was rumored to hit the transfer portal. Well, UNLV kept its coaching staff and its team intact. I think this is going to be a Rebels team that's a hungry dog and a rare bowl trip. And the Rebels do have an explosive big play offense with Ricky White, wide receiver. I think they can trade shots offensively with Kansas. And even though the Jayhawks are going to be close to full strength, and I don't think they lost many key players to the transfer portal or to the NFL draft, it appears, this should be one of those entertaining, high-scoring, a shootout bowl game that is going to be fun to watch. I do think the Rebels have enough firepower to trade shots and stay within this big number. So I'm going to hold out, see if I can get 14. If not, I'll settle for 13 with UNLV.
We're hanging out with Matt Youmans here, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out 9 to midnight Eastern, Monday through Friday here at VSiN, and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. A game that you're not expecting a shootout is the Holiday Bowl on Wednesday between Louisville and USC. Right now, the Cardinals, 7.5 point favorites, and the total sitting at 57.5.
Yeah, one of these days I'd like to get Michael Lombardi's analysis on Lincoln Riley and his program at USC because there's a lot going wrong there on the field.
Oh, man, you want it? I'll give it to you. Soft, soft, soft. No defense. Yeah. This whole comedy about he's coming to the NFL is completely ridiculous. It's like he runs a college offense with no defense when his team has no toughness. Like, tell me when Oklahoma – when he was there, or tell me at USC when he's been there that he's had great defense. He doesn't. I mean, the media has made him out to be this unbelievable creative organizer. I mean, Jed Fish has done a much better job at Arizona than he's done at USC. Look, Jed Fish had nobody. There were no players at Arizona when he arrived. USC, you're always going to have players. And yet, you know, there's been no comparison in terms of the programs that have been built and how he's improved the defense and all that. It's, you know, what happens is he becomes electable. he is an electable candidate. Mm-hmm. People love it. You know, there's no substance to it, but they love it.
Yeah, you're right. And Jed Fish has done a great job on both sides of the ball in Arizona. They got a legit defense, and the offense has become developed into something really impressive. Yeah, I agree. I've said the same thing about Lincoln Riley. His teams are so soft. And, you know, I want to just start with this Holiday Bowl. The list of playmakers taking a holiday, a vacation day, is pretty long. You got Caleb Williams, leading rusher Marshawn Lloyd, and number two receiver Brendan Rice, just to start with, on the USC side. On the Louisville side, you got star running back Jawar Jordan and the top receiver Jamari Thrash, who are going to duck out for the NFL draft. So Miller Moss, a third-year sophomore, had 32 pass attempts this season. He takes over the USC offense. I think you're going to see the Cardinals, because they don't really trust Jack Plummer, the starting quarterback, to put it in the air too often. And they're going to rely on their backup running backs, Maurice Turner, Isaac Garrido, and their defense to win this game. Jeff Brohm really wants to win this game. But if you look at the playmakers who are out, I don't think you're going to see a lot of explosive plays here. And it should be a low-scoring game. I played this under 58.5.
Well, speaking of Jed Fish and that Arizona program, Bear Down, they're going to be taking on Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's former program, in the Alamo Bowl. The Wildcats are 3-point favorites, but there's still some 2.5s out there as well. Total 62.5.
Yeah, I mean, how great a job did Jed Fish do with this team? Because he had to take it from rock bottom when he took over. 6-game winning streak to finish the regular season. Beat some quality teams in there, too. And that Noah Fifita, the little quarterback, who took over 73.6% completions, 23 touchdowns. Offense totaled 135 points in the last three games. I laid less than 3 here with Arizona. I do think it's not going to be as easy maybe as you hope if you bet Arizona, because initially when Dylan Gabriel left Oklahoma, I thought, wow, the Sooners probably going to limp into the bowl, not really show up in San Antonio. But they have had some guys stick around. I think that there's been a positive for the Oklahoma program that some of the guys who are coming back and playing in this bowl game. And I'm hearing some really positive reports about Jackson Arnold, the 5-star freshman who's going to replace Gabriel at quarterback. Mm. Only 24 pass attempts this season, but he's got the talent. I don't know if he's going to be ready to beat Arizona in this game. I still like the Cats. I'm not as crazy as I was about this initially, because Oklahoma's got more guys sticking around the game than I expected.
Yeah, they lost our offensive line, which is a concern. A lot of those guys transferred out, but the rest of the team kind of, he got them to stay, and I think Venables is a really good defensive coach. I agree. This is not going to be an easy game for Arizona. I think it's going to be a hard game, although Arizona, most of all their players are going to stay and play. So, whereas that's not the case at Ohio State. We're going to see a different quarterback at Ohio State as they place Missouri, and you like Missouri in this one.
I do like Missouri. If you think about it, the Tigers went down to the wire with Georgia in Athens. And I think they're the third best team in the SEC. And when I look at the Big Ten, I saw a lot of bad football being played in the Big Ten this season, especially a lot of bad offensive football. And Ohio State, I don't know why Marvin Harrison Jr. would play in this game. Somebody's going to have to explain it to me if he gets on the field why he would do that when you're going to be a top 5 pick. But when Kyle McCord opted out or transferred and he's headed to Syracuse, I think that's a big negative for the Ohio State offense in this game. I've seen Devin Brown play, the backup quarterback. I'm not impressed. But just the three big stars for Missouri on the offensive side, I think are going to be too much for the Buckeyes here. And I'm going to bet against the Big Ten, I think, more often than not here in the bowl season, because I watched that league all season. I think that league is a little bit down. I'm probably going to bet against Michigan with Alabama, too.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was not impressed when I watched the Big Ten here, but who knows? The Rose Bowl will be a fun game, though, between Michigan and Bama. He is Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the College Football Betting Podcast there. Matt, we appreciate it. Have fun out there at SoFi. Safe travels.
Enjoy
back
yourself,
and
Matt.
Be well.
Happy Merry Christmas, Matt. Have a great time. Have an eggnog on us, man. Enjoy it.
Okay. You bet. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas indeed.
Wonder who gets the Matt Youmans Christmas dinner fast food selection. That's probably, if wherever he goes, that's gonna have to be the key, right? I mean, that's a big step. Your Christmas Day Matt Youmans fast food. That probably puts you up on an upper echelon.
Is the McRib available at McDonald's? Maybe we'll see what's going on.
They say it is.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Michael. I will talk to you
tomorrow.
Stormy's back tomorrow.
Oh, Stormy's back tomorrow. Okay, good.
All right, Pam and JVT are coming up next.